But the origin as such is rather basic. For example, you take the Greek word for hippopotamus. It's hippototimi. Okay? And it's actually hippo, under, and then you have the preposition, plus the Greek word which means potemi, which is a water. So you have that. And also you have the hippos, which is the word for horse. So you have a water horse who is in the water. That's a hippopotamus. The Greek word for elephant is elephant. See? The Greek word for telephone is telephono. And those are two Greek words, by the way, to transmit one's voice. And they had that way back in ancient times, even though they didn't have the device, they had the words. Tele, meaning to transmit, tele, and the word for voice is phoni. So you have tele, phoni. We simply call it telephone. I don't know why it's telephone, not a. All right, the point is, these animals now are presented to him, and he notices something right away. I mean, anyone with the kind of mind that he had, and as I mentioned, he had to have a tremendous ability to think, because he had to come up with names that did not exist. See, the best we can do is call things by names that already exist. Take streets, for example. The first thing we usually start with is what? Numbers. Then we go to letters. Well, now you're kind of restricted, because the most you want to go to is about 200. Okay, you don't want to go to, where do you live? Oh, 18,723rd Street. I mean, it's a little bit absurd. But we do have, like in Phoenix, everything is laid out perfectly. You should never get lost in Phoenix. People do, because they don't know the little clues. For example, if you're going north on 27th Avenue, all the numbers on the right-hand side are what? Odd. And all the numbers on the left-hand side are all even. And that is all the way through the entire city, as well as on into other areas. Then we know that the divider is Van Buren and Central, or Washington and Central, or whatever. Anything north is called north, and everything south is called south. So if you get an address, 102 South something, you know that it's south of Van Buren. And anything that is east or west, you know, is either east or west of Central. Okay? Then you have the numerals going north and the numerals going south. And it works out quite nicely. But you'll notice that the best we can do is numbers, letters, flowers, animals, and presidents. Flowers including all kinds of horticulture. How's that? That's kind of, as well as Boyd's, birds to you. You know, Sparrow Street, Mockingbird Lane, okay? Vulture Pass. Huh? Roadrunner, and so on. Then you have elm and oak, yeah? And walnut and peach. And so on. Then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, D. Listen, he didn't have any of this. He had to come right off the top of his head. Elephant. Hippopotamus. Kangaroo. Giraffe. And on down the line. But then he also noticed that they were built differently. And it didn't take too much observation for that. And so he said, Mr. Elephant, Mrs. Elephant. See, MRS means missing. All right. And then the giraffe. Mr. Has. Mrs. Hasn't. That's the idea. And then he said, Adam, all right, or Ish in Hebrew, man. I have for what? So God did not give him one of the animals. And when the chimp went by, he said, close. All right, but the chimp went by, and on down there, on four. No, I don't do that. You see, we have digressed in certain areas, certain species. But the species is compatible to Ish. And ironically, she's called Isha. Now, the key word here is what? Helper. I will make her a helper for him. Now, I want you to notice how it's translated in the King James and how it has been horribly abused by people who love to play with words. Have you ever heard this one? And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a help mate for him. And so they call her the helpmate. That's not what it says at all. The word meet is an old English word for suitable. M-E-E-T. And it meant suitable in the sense of being fitted. As a matter of fact, it is translated fitted in Colossians, where it says that we are meat for the master's use. What does that mean? He chops us up? No, we are fitted for the master's use. How are we fitted to be used by the Spirit of God and fulfill the design for which we were created in Christ Jesus? We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, the power available. That's what makes us suitable. And it is translated suitable in some passages, in other translations. And so the word I will build a helper corresponding to him of the same species, that's suitable. A monkey wasn't suitable. A camel wasn't suitable. A giraffe wasn't suitable. All of the animals that went in front of him were not suitable. And he recognized that immediately. And by the way, if for no other reason, guess what? Here's another beautiful part of this thing. They weren't suitable because they'd already been taken. See? God created he, them, male and female. And then he creates man, man alone. And then he parades the animals in front of him, and immediately he takes cognizance of the fact that there is no opposite number for him. And when I say opposite, it's really not opposite, it's compatible. There's a vast difference between being an opposite to someone and being compatible to that person. Now, what we really have here is the creation of a fundamental principle called right man, right woman. I know it's only man, only woman, but that's the idea. You see, as soon as Isha is brought to Ish, the principle is established. Adam, this is the only woman for you. And he says, what choice do I have? No, he doesn't. He's not questioning that. So as far as we are concerned, one man for one woman in the garden. Get the idea? Ironically, by the way, we've been doing a lot of fighting lately in the garden. I would imagine that the very place, looking at it from the standpoint of geography, the closest that I can come to where the so-called elite guard was located, remember the two pockets of them, and the one that was closest to where the Euphrates meets the Tigris? If we could find the other river, Ginnon, is it? I mention that only because of the fact that if you could find the Ginnon, you would find gold. Anyhow, it says, for there is much gold there. And I think recently, if I'm not mistaken, there was a tremendous discovery somewhere in that region of tremendous deposits of gold. Needless to say, that's where the garden was at one time. Did anybody find that, by the way? Pishon, okay. Oh, wait a minute. The second, I was right there. Gion, yeah, okay. And then you have, you notice it's called Ethiopia. Be careful of that. Oh, Pison, Hivla, the Euphrates. Okay. Well, at one time there were four bodies all coming together, and where they came together, if you could find that area. Well, unfortunately, the other two are missing, so you're left with... You know, you could wander up and down that 400 miles trying to find gold. Besides, you're liable to get shot anyway. Stay out of the region, incidentally. But I think it's quite significant that here we are, as Bible students, knowing the areas and the geographies, we have Assyria, now called Iraq. At one time it was called Babylon, the main area. That's, of course, the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar, all that stuff, you remember? It's all in that region. The birthplace of Abraham, is in southern Iraq. And there are some ruins there. Matter of fact, they went into that area and they found two MIG something or others, hidden in the ruins because they were afraid that they were going to bomb them. And see, we told them we wouldn't bomb schools, we wouldn't bomb civilian areas, and we wouldn't bomb any of the archaeological areas, and so they hid all this stuff there. Didn't do them any good, of course. And by the way, do you think the Iranians are really going to give these aircraft back? They just got themselves a tremendous amount of airplanes for nothing. And it was, I think it was a slip of the tongue, but one of our briefers today was saying, well, look, when it's all over, we're just going to pack up all of these M-71 Russian tanks. That's the latest thing they have. And we're just going to, you know, put them on our aircraft and just ship them back to the States. Oops, I shouldn't have said that. Now, the lower class, the 50s and the 40s, we're just throwing grenades down in the hatches, and that's the end of that. But those big guys, you know, with the big guns and all the technology, we'll have to look at those. We can convert those easily. I can imagine the Russians. They must be fit to be tied because they gave all the Iraqis their military strategy. They taught them everything they know. And they must be saying to themselves, we better go back to the drawing board. And of course, there have been, and this was phenomenal because there have been some major changes in military tactics as a result of these campaigns. You know, when I was a young man, they never thought that aircraft would ever be used in combat. They said the best they'll be able to do with them is take pictures. Okay? And when you study the, excuse the expression, evolution, or the progression of modern aerial warfare, it's absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable. But that has nothing to do with Genesis, but I thought I'd throw that in. All right, so she is, number one, a helper. So, ladies, look at it this way. Look up here, my dear, precious female of the species types. If you're not a helper to your husband, you are not fulfilled in the primary objective for which you were created. And helping doesn't mean taking. Helping means exactly what it says. Help. Supportive. And here I was talking to two unsaved people last Saturday. Now, I'm not sure that the one is unsaved because she did at one time profess to know Christ as Savior. But I'm convinced that she married a non-believer. And he decided that he was going to go into business for himself. And when he did, he said, the literal translation is, the first year, my business was like pharmakia. Now, Very difficult to translate that, because pharmakia is where we get the English word pharmacy from, and that's where the term drugs come from. Well, I don't think he was suggesting to me that his business was like drugs. But there is also the idiom of what drugs do to you and how bitter they are to take. So you see how expressive the language can be. I understood it and I said, po 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 po, which means, oh. But anyway, that's from my Doric Greek background, you understand. And so he said, however, again, I'm translating, however, he said, were it not for this woman and her support, I would have given up a long time ago. And so he said, when we get out to my automobile, I want you to appreciate that this is all in Greek, and he says, when we get out to my automobile, I want you to notice my license plates, because the license number is called ikini. And ikini means, it's the demonstrative pronoun for her. And so I went out there, and the first thing I saw was a 1990 Jaguar with ikini as the license plates. So apparently her help helped. Now, I could have gone out there and he was driving a 1952 Volkswagen. Okay, with flapping fenders. Some women do that. They just take all they can get and never give and obviously never help. And she is the happiest thing on two feet. And he is just absolutely elated. He worships the ground she walks on. And he was disappointed because he has this place where the apples come from? Sedona. Paid for three bedrooms, the whole schmear. And he's disappointed because he actually wanted one by the water's edge with his Jaguar. And I bought him a drink. I sat close to him, too. I figured maybe some of that would rub off. No. Point two, Genesis 2:20 through 23. So Adam gave names to all the domesticated animals, I'm reading from the corrected translation, and to the birds of heaven, and to all the wild animals of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper corresponding to him. Therefore, Jehovah Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon man. And as he kept on sleeping, he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And Jehovah Elohim built, that is, bana, which is the Hebrew word, the woman out from the rib which he had taken from the man, and caused her to be brought to the man. Then Adam said, she is now bone out of my bones and flesh out of my flesh. She shall be classified woman because she was taken out from man. And thank God it was the last time it happened. If you can appreciate the fact that ever since then, man has been taken out of the woman. Okay? And I get this from reliable sources, those who have studied the scriptures in the original language much more than I have, that at one time apparently it was a toss-up as to who actually would be the child-bearer. I said that once in a Bible school environment, and everybody started to laugh. And then I said, well, gentlemen, the next time you're standing in front of a mirror, wonder why you have certain items that don't seem to work. And apparently those items may have been carryovers from Adam and, of course, Eve. And at one point there may have been some question as to who actually was going to be the one that carried the child. That's frightening. Because we know the first one was Adam. He brought forth the woman. But then as a result of the fall, it was reversed. And she would bring forth children and then the pain associated with it. So every time you have a contraction, ladies, and childbearing, just realize that it's a reminder of what? The day Adam decided to say no to the plan of God for his life. And you know how awful that is? Well, that's exactly what the implication is as far as what you and I do when we say no to the plan of God for our lives. It is my understanding as well that in measuring pain, and they have ways in which they can do that, there isn't a male alive that could withstand the pain of childbearing. We just can't take it. The threshold of pain that we are able to endure is considerably lower than that which the woman endures in childbirth. We would go literally out of our minds. And she just has a horrible time having children. You thought I was going to say easy time. Subpoint A, the fact that Adam named all the animals means that language was not gradually developed. So he didn't come out of a cave running around on his hands and knees with hair all over his face and looking for a woman. And when he found her, he went, and then she went, and they developed language. He could name every animal that went past intelligently and articulately. Therefore, the principle, man was created with a complete vocabulary. Secondly, man began on earth with perfect intelligence. And with that then came a perfect expression of that intellect in language. I don't know what that language was, but I'll tell you one thing. Whatever that language was, you take Adam's intelligence in the garden, mix that with perfect intellectual communication, and you have a language that will describe every single word and idea within the expression of that language. And we can't do that in English. Let's see, how should I put this? Is what we fail with. As a matter of fact, oft times we have to use a foreign language to come close. And you know as well as I do that French a lot of times is used. For instance, I've gone through a situation that I thought I've gone through before. And I'm not sure, but it appears that, well, while I was there, it seemed like I'd done it before. And you have to go through all that to say what? Deja vu. And many times you'll hear people say, you know, that's the, and they go, and they throw out a French word or an Italian word or a Greek word or whatever. Look at medicine. 90% of medical terms are all Greek. English just doesn't hack it. All right, so we see then that he was created with perfect intelligence and perfect vocabulary. Point B, during this time, man had a free will to select a mate from the animal kingdom if he desired. But he rejected them. And I want to enter at this point a parenthesis for two reasons. One, they were incompatible. And this is a rather humorous second point. Two, I don't think the mister of that specie would like it. You know, you take a female gorilla, say, okay, there's my mate. I doubt if Mr. Gorilla would have liked that. Okay, then you'd have to work down to the weaker of the animals, and what do you choose? It's always been amazing to me that gorillas are so phenomenally strong, and all they eat is bananas and leaves. I'm not espousing, of course, the principle of vegetarians, but we need the amino acids. Apparently, gorillas don't. Of course, they don't sit and rationalize either like we do. They don't philosophize either. No books have ever been written by a gorilla, so let them. Maybe that's the point. If you eat too many bananas and leaves, you'll never do any writing or any intellectual thinking. Excuse my wandering. He rejected them. Therefore, he recognized an important principle that mankind is superior to the animal kingdom. He therefore made a classification in his decision. He noted a very important point, and that was that he was not an animal. He knew there was a God. Now he sees himself, at least he knows, because of self-consciousness, that he is a man. And he knows that he is the male of a species, because as he sees the animals going by, he notices that there's something they have that he has. But he notices that what the other has, he doesn't have. Okay? And therefore he identifies himself with that, and then looks, and there's nothing for him. And there's nothing in the animal kingdom, because the animal kingdom, you see, is in the below range. And then, of course, we know that below that is what? Vegetable. In the total order of the creation of God, here's the way it looks. First in the creation is angelic. Second is man. Third is animal. Fourth is vegetable. In Christ, we are raised higher than the angels, and we're seated, and that, of course, is where the conflict comes in. Just by this simple little graph. On the other hand, some men go down to the... And by the way, I'm annoyed whenever somebody calls me an animal. And I don't mean in the vicious sense. I wouldn't waste my time in a doctor's office who thought that I was an evolutionary process from some seaweed. And I'd find out right away what this guy stands for. I say, do you believe in either theistic or organic evolution? If he says yes, I'd say, goodbye, Charlie. I don't want him touching my body. Matter of fact, I don't want anybody touching my body except my wife. I'm rather sensitive about those things. In addition to the fact that I'm very, very shy. That's right. Now, if some angelic being came and wanted to touch my body, I suppose, with his knowledge of the elect qualification, you understand, I would say to him, fine, you know more about this than any dumb doctor on the face of the earth, so you, by all means, go to it. So I am not an evolutionary process of some animal. And of all the animals, you hear people say that man is the most advanced. What nonsense! Adam had his choice to take an animal. He said, no, I don't want an animal. I want my own. And she could be an animal if she wants to. But now we're going into the secondary use of the term. You know, wild as a tiger, that kind of stuff. No, there were no whips, chains, handcuffs, or any of that stuff in the garden. They didn't need any kinky stuff. And they probably had phenomenal sex. Absolutely phenomenal. Why? No sin natures. She never had a headache. Never had an excuse to say no. Perfect environment. I see some of you going, that look on your face is giving you away. Forget it. You can have it close, but that's about it, through the filling of the Spirit. Point C, the Hebrew word ezer, or some have pronounced it ezer. Why do they ruin languages? Ezer, E-Z-E-R, expresses the first tradition regarding marriage and the role of the woman in life. So the first tradition then means a helper, and Adam needed a human wife as a helper. Point D, note the relationship of order. First, Adam had a relationship with God. So what was Adam's priority before the woman? Number one, God. Now, you've never heard me say that, have you? You've never heard me say that the number one priority in your life should be God and His Word. Well, you see, God showed him that by placing him in the garden in perfect environment without distractions. Now, going back one step in our doctrinal study, as soon as Adam has the woman, he has a potential what? Distraction. And eventually, she becomes the ultimate distraction. What happens? He obeys her instead of God. He begins to respond to her instead of to God. See, all she did is she partook of the fruit through naivety or stupidity or ignorance. But he calculatingly decided by an act of his volition that he would disobey the Word of God as it was given to him without any reservation. And he said, I will not respond to God. I will respond to my wife. And he did, and he partook willingly. That's why it's called Adam's sin. Not called Eve's sin. Number one, he was to help her. Excuse me, she was to help him. Number two, she was to respond to him. He was created first. She was given to him. He was the head. He was in charge. And he lost that. And the result, of course, and it all came down to one simple thing. He no longer retained God as number one in his life. So the first order of relationship is that Adam had God as a number one priority. You see, at that point, before the woman entered onto the scene, he only had two options. Well, he had three. He could either worship God, a monkey, or a grapefruit. Okay? Yeah, did you ever hear anybody say, when I walk out into a forest, I see the creation of God, and that's God to me? Boy, he's really gone down the proverbial tubes. You see, he's down in this area. He's in the vegetable state of his worship. At least there were those who had enough sense years ago that they used to go one above man. They worshiped angels. What is that called, by the way? Demon worship. See, whenever you begin to worship the inferior, brother, you're in trouble. That's like, bowing down to a carrot. at least ancient man, the Greeks and the Romans and all the rest of them, their whole culture was built around angelic worship, the superior being, including all of the intellectuals that lived in the South American rainforests, the Mayans and the Aztecs and so on. They all worshipped the superior being. You see how far we've advanced in that area. We've got people going around worshiping carrots or turnips or whatever. All right, so God number one, then the woman comes in, and that's fine. So number two is the woman. She has their next place. Nothing wrong with that. Notice, by the way, nowhere is his job mentioned. He said, but he was the tiller of the ground. Oh, yeah, it must have been hard work for him. He had never sweat. He'd never had any perspiration. Never got nervous. So I kind of picture him going out there going, that's enough for today. I wasn't there, and I have no idea what he did. And since he was living in perfect environment, why, everything just grew. No weeds. So he didn't even have to pull weeds. Tiller of the ground. What does that mean? Write his name and then hers and a heart around it? I don't know. He didn't write his initials in the oak in the middle of the garden saying, Adam loves Eve. The second tradition, then, or relationship, is to the woman. Now, here's an important fact. The first relationship that man and woman ever had in history was called marriage. This would be a good trivia question. What's the first relationship that man and woman ever had? And somebody'd probably say sex. It was marriage. And who performed the first ceremony? God did. He brought the woman to the man. And he said, here. He gave away the woman, if you please. Point E. In the first sleep, God operated on man and took something from the man in order to create the first woman. Here's an interesting point. Man's body was created from the dust of the ground, but the woman's body was created from the rib of the man. And there's a beautiful principle that comes out of this, and I'll conclude with it. The principle is simple, that the man's body is incomplete without a woman. And that, his right woman. Repeat, then the principle is quite easy. Man's body is incomplete apart from his right woman. The order again is man is created from the dust of the ground. Now, God could have just as easily taken another dust of the ground and formed the woman and breathed in the her nostrils the same as he did in Adam's. But then, you see, you would have had what? Equality. But that's not the case. Not only that, she's different. And she's taken out of the man, indicating that he's incomplete without her. And she has been created to fulfill that completion. That's marvelous. You ever hear a husband say, "I don't know what I would do without my wife"? It's the way it should be. Like this man told me, in Greek, of course, he said, "She is my completeness." He didn't know that he was spouting scripture after scripture when he was describing this woman's backing him. Now, of course, I almost want to take back what I said, that I'm not sure whether she was saved, because I'm almost sure she is, and she's got a lot of doctrine. Because she was in Bible class here for quite a few months. Plus she was being taught, plus she was on tapes. And I think what she simply did was apply the doctrines that she knew, and one thing she definitely knew, she knew rebound, and she also knew faith rest. And she kept saying to him, "Look, it's going to work out. It'll work out. You'll see. Just relax. Don't get upset." And in effect, put it in the hands of the Lord. If she is a believer, that's what she did. And by association, we might get them back in Bible class one of these days, you'll see. They do show up, by the way, I'm not going to say it. And there they are, sitting in the back. Because only one person here knows who I'm talking about, and that's the person that's my helper. Because she happened to be sitting on the other side of the table while we were talking to these two people. You're incomplete, my man, without your woman. And you are totally complete when you got the right one. Tell her that. Thank you, Father, for the time together. Dismiss us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.